Synergy. From What a Waste of My Time to What a Rush, Chapter 6. Have you ever attended a meeting only to remain silent, hear officers talk in circles, and fail to do anything? Have you ever encountered such a tremendous black hole of time that leaves you thinking, wouldn't an email suffice? Am I really needed here? Or, if you were in charge of the black hole, you might have been thinking, somebody please say something. Somebody please participate. If you've got a real, understandable, and concrete mission, and you've worked behind the scenes to create buy-in, this tragic scene should rarely strike. But promoting your meetings from time waster to not bad will hardly drive your organization to its peak performance level. For such optimality, you'll need that magical force called synergy. Synergy is the old-fashioned notion that two heads are better than one. Or, a more exciting way to think of synergy is as an equation. 1 plus 1 equals 10 billion. That is, when two or more separate minds merge their ideas and unique habits of mind, remember chapter 1, they come up with huge ideas, as well as the plans and the passion needed to make them happen. Synergy makes many members love their organization and bubble over with joy when someone asks about it. Learning how to harness the tremendous power of synergy will make each of your members feel more useful, important, and appreciated. They'll enjoy your organization's gatherings more and feel motivated to keep coming to meetings. It can turn tasks from drudgery into coveted opportunities for fun. Indeed, in some high synergy organizations, members get upset when others get to write more emails, that is, do more work than they do. Synergy comes naturally to humans. We're interdependent organisms. We love getting together and enriching each other with our respective wisdom. Yet synergy is a fragile force. There are many subtle things leaders do, or fail to do, that kill synergy before it even begins to blossom. In this chapter, you'll learn how to tap into the magic of collective thinking in the meeting scenario. By applying the techniques wisely, you'll be able to generate ideas that you would have never otherwise conceived. Unless you're really sharp. The chapter looks at all things needed to unlock synergy's potential by first examining the overlooked facets of meetings. Then, brainstorming puts you on the path to making the ideas reality. Specifically, you'll learn the 10 commandments of effective meetings. How to instill confidence in people's ideas. How to subtly validate ideas so they keep coming. The 4 ignored steps of brainstorming. 7 quick techniques to create exciting, free-flow idea sessions. How to turn a thinker into a doer. Effective meetings. Ideas usually erupt at meetings, so we'll start with a few rules that are easy to observe and overlook that make all the difference in whether your meeting rocks or tanks. You'd be surprised how these little things make the big difference. Thus, the 10 commandments of effective meetings. 1. Make sure the meeting is necessary. Never have a meeting when a memo or email would suffice. Never have a meeting just to have a meeting or because we always meet on Wednesdays. When people meet, sit around and try to manufacture some business to discuss, the membership's passion and interest languish. They feel confused and wonder about the origins of the random topics being discussed. Or they feel angry because you're wasting their time. If you usually meet on a certain day but don't need to meet one particular week, communicate that a meeting isn't necessary and congratulate them for being so productive. 2. Provide ample forewarning. Students are a special brand of busy people. Everybody's schedule and demands are different, depending upon whenever a test or group meeting happens. Short notice is a leading cause of poor attendance because people just can't make it. Set 48 hours notice as your personal minimum, with more notice preferable. If you provide too much warning, you will probably also want to send out a reminder message. It's easiest for most parties to remember a regular weekly meeting time. Within the meeting notification communications, you should also alert them to the primary objective of the meeting. 3. Schedule wisely. Even after you collect everyone's scheduling information, you may be committing some alternative scheduling snafus. Don't hold a broad general meeting during traditionally understood party times, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights. During a major athletic event, finals week, or an extremely popular TV show that people want to watch live. Of course, you can make special arrangements for a committed core team, but the masses will not be as massive during those time frames. 4. Be prepared. The motto applies to Boy Scouts as well as your organization. Whenever your organization is gathering, ask yourself if they need anything. Your meeting is the perfect time to give and receive physical items. You should also have visual aids, PowerPoints, overheads, chalkboard, for visual-oriented information, such as timelines and scheduling. Bring whatever you need to make things move smoothly. The more often you hear the phrase, "Oh yeah, we'll send an email about that," in a meeting, the less prepared the meeting planner. Double check to make sure you have everything with you. Ask yourself, would bringing anything else be helpful? Honor the start and the end time. If you never start until 10 minutes after the declared start time, people will start showing up later. Then you'll wait longer for more people to show up, and the vicious cycle quickly destroys any semblance of promptness. Set a rule about how long you plan to wait and stick to it. You might decide to begin business at the exact start time or exactly 4 minutes after the start time. The choice is yours, but let the group know and remain firm. 6. Have an agenda. You need to have at least one objective for a meeting. Seeing where we're at doesn't count. Celebrating, receiving feedback, introducing the organization, these all work. If people speak their minds freely in the absence of structure, conversations often don't go anywhere. Yogi Berra summarized it well. If you don't know where you're going, you might wind up someplace else. So make it clear at the beginning of the meeting what decisions are to be rendered and or what sort of output you expect from the effort. This way, people will know where they are going from the onset. Feeling an expectation for results from the beginning, they will censor themselves slightly and feel more engaged as they search for solutions to the issues at hand. Make sure everyone can visually see what is on the agenda, be it with printouts or visual aids. The printed word has the power to make people feel official and focus their attention on the items at hand. 7. Follow the agenda. If there's a lot of love in your organization, which you should be working to make happen, people will inevitably want to chatter all around any number of topics. It will take some tough love and discipline to keep your group on top of the agenda. If someone says something excellent that should be addressed, go ahead and add that to the agenda at the end. The magical phrase is, "That's item X on the agenda, so we'll get to that shortly." It draws their attention to the agenda and trains people to follow it. 8. Engage. Engagement is really what meetings are all about. It is the bread and butter of any assembly. Indeed, if you don't need to engage in interactive discussion, then you're better off just sending an email. After all, if you only held meetings to decree what you've decided, then you will find your members disappearing quickly. Don't pretend that you know everything or have thought about everything. Be humble and honest about your thoughts and conclusions, and be open to being wrong. Boldly ask for what you need, whether that's volunteers, ideas, or criticisms. Engage and include people in the goings-on of a meeting so they feel like they matter. If someone is notably silent or looks like she has an idea, go ahead and ask for that person's input. 9. Review assignments at the end. It's easy for people to forget what they said they would do. When you repeat each person's commitment at the end of the meeting, it sends the message, "Hey, we're serious about this and we have you on record." The declaration to the whole membership reinforces their commitment. Also, the initial review makes people much more prone to remembering their original commitments. The remembering effect works sort of like reviewing your notes shortly after a class, rather than cramming at the end. 10. Send out the minutes. The minutes are the icing on the cake. They allow people who are not at the meeting a chance to stay in the loop. Minutes are also helpful for the people who were there because they fill in the inevitable gaps arising when people zone out. They affirm that people were indeed heard and that what they said made it on the record. They bring individuals under the mysterious power of the written word. You may wish to have a separate section called Member Commitments, Tasks, Action Items, or something of that nature to highlight these commitments. It's amazing how a simple email can make all the difference between talk and action. Conducive confidence. If you're following the rules for effective meetings, you're already on track to get some quality thoughts. Now you need to deal with another monster, fear. Fear prevents synergy from unfolding and becoming that magical force. People are often too afraid or uncomfortable to share their ideas. When newer members are considering offering their 2 cents, numerous damaging thoughts swirl about in their heads, such as, "Well, I'm new here," or, "I don't quite know what's going on and everyone else does, so I'll just chill," or, "They've probably already considered that." With proactive zeal, prevent these excuses from short-circuiting your synergy by following the 4 A's, namely, ask, Affirm, act, and acknowledge. Ask. In order to acquire people's genius insights, you must first ask for them. While this seems rudimentary and obvious, few people actually do it. It requires a spirit of humility to acknowledge that you don't know the answer and you require input. It takes a humble soul to acknowledge that the group's ideas are better than yours. You also need courage to entrust the group with their game plan. The group will respect that. Affirm. People tend to take a special pleasure in destroying other people's ideas. Perhaps it makes them feel better to know something that someone else doesn't know. Sometimes you could see leaders practically chomping at the bit to blurt out, "We tried that before and it didn't work," or any number of destructive messages. Suspending judgment is the cornerstone of synergy. So suspend it and, in its place, affirm the idea that you've heard. A little, "That sounds exciting," or "What a fun twist," can make all the difference. My uncle, Topper Steinman, has a special method of affirming people's ideas with just two words. That's huge. People feel big inside whenever they hear that. Act. If you get hordes of ideas and ignore them all, your membership's creative zeal will diminish and die. The old adage, "use it or lose it," applies not only to muscles, but also to the ideas of your membership. When members' ideas do not receive action, they begin feeling like the words they speak don't have all that much value. So they'll stop speaking those words and eventually stop showing up altogether. Tons of options compete for the students' time. Blowing off ideas will quickly bring your organization to the bottom of the list. Acknowledge. After pursuing someone's ideas, make sure to acknowledge that thinker's contribution. Send a thank you note or publicly recognize her genius during the victory celebration. When members see their ideas are rewarded, they will naturally feel more motivated to contribute them in the future. By habitually engaging in these activities, your membership will grow to respect themselves and their ideas more and feel more comfortable throwing those ideas out in a brainstorming scenario. The ignored laws of brainstorming. To make the best use of your new fearlessness, dust off the ignored laws of brainstorming. Odds are that you may never have been in a fully optimized brainstorming session. These are rare things of beauty because brainstorming is unnatural for people. You may well have heard the rules of brainstorming before, but most people ignore them. So really try these out next time. Get them into mood. People have some internal resistance to the brainstorming concept, so you may need to loosen them up, which may mean just waking them up by asking if they shake hands and converse with their neighbors. If energy enhancing is not enough, make people literally put on their thinking caps. One of the best thinkers on thinking, Edward de Bono, suggests, if you play act at becoming a thinker, you do indeed become one. The recommendations from the commitment chapter regarding pretending your way into emotions also work for thinking. Encourage your membership to put their chins on their fists or stroke the invisible beards. The little silliness that doing so invites can help get you going smoothly. Rapidly fire out ideas. As soon as you ask the question that you want answered, encourage the members to keep the ideas coming, one after another. Anything goes, anything. If the ideas are slow in coming, you may first ask for a few ideas that are clearly outlandish. Have a few people say something that obviously won't work. Take a couple cracks at suggesting something ludicrous, illegal, disturbing, or frightening. That should get people loosened up a little bit and more emboldened to provide their real ideas. As a leader, you also have the responsibility to keep people talking and prevent them from violating these brainstorming laws. Let ideas build on each other. Crazy ideas become less crazy with small modifications. Even an illegal idea can be turned into something worthwhile with a small change. "We should have a kegger on the quad" can turn into "dance party on the quad," which could turn into "dance contest," etc. You're witnessing the power of synergy firsthand when people are laughing, having fun, and ideas are expanding and exploding off of each other. Let the electricity and magic build as people have fun with it all. Laughter is the lubricant of brainstorming. Suspend judgment. Suspending judgment is the crux of the brainstorming process. Don't judge the ideas at first. It's just like writing. You don't want to edit yourself as you write initially. Rather, you just want the words to flow out of you, then select later. Suspending judgment is extremely hard for most people. We just can't stand to have a poor idea out there. We have a great fear that if this horrible idea doesn't get extinguished immediately, it will happen. The mere notion of its manifestation frightens us, so we must abort it immediately. Unfortunately, premature judging short-circuits much of the amazing benefits that could be gained by brainstorming in the first place. Remember, as a leader, you have a significant influence in the judging by your subtle actions. Don't say that certain ideas are good without approving of all ideas. If you gently praise one idea but not another, you're implicitly stating that the other idea is bad. You've subtly alienated that idea giver who is now less apt to talk. He'll be thinking, oh, so my idea wasn't as good as Fred's, I see. Additionally, watch your tones of voice and facial expression. Bring a poker face or a genuinely enthusiastic, that's great, to every idea right away. Also, people have a tendency to feel stupid very quickly in a brainstorming session. They feel exposed. It's as though they are sharing a very private part of themselves with the group and are uncertain of how they will respond. Be sensitive to those emotions. Taking it over the top. Following the ignored laws of brainstorming will produce a bundle of ideas. The following 7 techniques will enhance your capacity to generate and select the highest quality options. The first 4 help generate additional ideas, while the last 3 help you pick. Problem restatement. One quick way to boost your group's capacity for generating solutions is to make sure that you're solving the right problem. Often, groups immediately tackle a problem thinking that the issue is obvious. You need ideas in a hurry, so let's get on with it. However, by taking a step back and looking at the problem in alternative ways, the group can focus on the portions that really matter. Simply engaging in this process for about 7 minutes can make the problem suddenly seem much clearer. To perform this operation, simply and rapidly list alternative statements of the problem. You can generate alternatives in many different ways. Use different verbiage, use broader, more top-level words to describe the issue, change the focus, and keep asking why the problem is a problem. For example, say the problem is finding a way to get new members in your organization. You could undergo a problem restatement dialogue that looks like this. Original question, how can we get new members in our organization? New verbiage, in what manner might we procure additional humans for our group? How can we recruit more folks? How might we increase our numbers? Change the focus. How can we get more people to show up? How can we keep people from quitting? How can we build interest in the organization? Asking why. Why is having more people necessary? So we can do all of our projects. Why do we do so many projects? Because we have a lot of good ideas. Why don't we act on a smaller number of ideas? Huh. Perhaps that's the real question. Hopefully, you can see how simply restating the problem in as many ways as possible can reveal that the problem you see may not be the underlying problem. A few minutes will provide an initial clarity that makes the group thinking process more effective. At the very least, it will reveal to you that there are multiple ways to begin attacking the problem. Sticky note brainstorming. Harness the power of those omnipresent colored sticky notes in a brainstorming scenario. Because fear, shyness, and other social impediments often slow the brainstorming flow, using paper instead of voices can greatly facilitate the process. Give each member a couple notes and ask him or her to write a novel solution to your problem on each one. After giving your membership a few moments to conceive their ideas and commit them to paper, have everybody place their notes up on a wall for all to see. The initial pot of ideas can give rise to some amazing synergy. This technique works well because the physical act of entrusting a person with sticky notes confers an expectation of creative production. If you have 25 members, then you are grabbing 50 ideas right away. No excuses or silence. Additionally, nobody has to know who wrote what, so there's no fear of looking stupid. Some mental stimulation. If people's ideas begin to run dry, you need a source of external inspiration. You can find many ways to do this, but one of the simplest is by grabbing a book. Where can one find this tome of wisdom? Actually, any book whatsoever will do. Odds are that at least one student will have brought his book bag with him to the meeting. Take a book, flip to a random page, select the first noun that you encounter. Announce the word to the group. Your group members should then answer the implied questions. How is that related to the issue at hand? In what ways is that word like the thing we're discussing? How can this word generate a solution? At first glance, it may seem like a huge stretch, but nearly any word can spark some novel thinking on a topic. For example, say you're examining how to go about fundraising. The word you pull up is evaluation. What ideas does this generate? Your club can provide evaluations to groups of people acting as judges. So you can host a dance competition, a speech tournament, a rap contest. You can undergo an evaluation to see what could be eliminated from the budget. You can offer your club specialized expertise to evaluate other people's plans, charging a modest fee for your consulting services. Reverse. One procedure, useful in dance as well as group thinking, is to put your idea down, flip it, and reverse it. Take your initial question and ask the exact opposite question. Then take note of the answer you get and see what that naturally inspires. The result? An additional solution. The mind can quickly and naturally find opposites, so this technique works well to keep things moving. Again, let's say that your group is seeking funds. Let's take a look at how reversing the question can make a difference. Original question, how can we get more money? Reversed question, how can we get rid of our money? Solution, host a gigantic pizza party. Turns into a real potential solution, spend less of it on snacks. Another solution, give it all away to charity. Leads to inspiring a maybe real solution of partner with other nonprofits to create an event and share the monies generated. Solution, buy everybody new clothes. Inspired viable solution, gather members' unwanted clothing and other items, have a garage sale, and sell that at a discount. Even if the solutions you get from this or any other method are ridiculous, they can still provide stepping stones to even better ideas. Getting choosy. Following those techniques should result in a bona fide glut of alternatives. Relax. Excess is best. It's a much better situation to have too many alternatives than it is to have too few. Nonetheless, not every idea can receive the resources needed to make it happen. Alas, your available time, energy, and monies are limited. As such, you'll require methodologies to select which ideas receive action. As a first step in this process, eliminate and consolidate the ideas you generated. With your group, eliminate the ridiculous ideas that generated fun, but not workable solutions. Then consolidate the ideas that are almost the same, but not quite. Once you've narrowed your list to an operable few, you can engage in one of the following techniques. Criteria matrix. A matrix provides an excellent way to organize the frenetic thinking process of students, and Keanu Reeves would approve. Take the ideas worthy of further analysis and list them as the rows of a matrix. Then formulate the criteria you will use in making your decision. What's the most important factor in making that choice? Generally, the nature of your problem and constraints will determine those criteria. You can also probably nab a few criteria for use in all decision-making scenarios from your mission. Once you've listed these, set each as a column in your matrix. Finally, make a mark indicating if a solution meets the criterion. Or you could also enter a numerical rank in each intersection. The options with the highest totals or lowest total rank could become the grand finalists. So here's what that technique would look like with the fundraising example. Idea, date auction, bake sale, hosting a conference, raffle, begging. Criteria, low startup cost, much fun. Mitch involvement from members, exposure to organization, lucrative, and then check boxes to the extent that each idea meets those. Mark voting. Once the final list of ideas has been proposed, just let democracy run its course. First, display all of the options in front for all to see on a chalkboard, flip chart, or overhead. Give each of your members a certain number of votes. 3 is usually a handy number. Then, have each member cast his 3 votes for the 3 ideas that he likes best. You can utilize marks on a chalkboard, torn pieces from a post-it note, or those handy garage sale dots. By totaling the amount of dots, you can quickly see what ideas are the most popular. The dot technique works better than mere counts of raised hands because people are more judicious in deciding how to allocate their scarce personal resources of the dot. There's also something that's just cooler about the ballot. Thinkers and doers. It's natural to give the responsibility of actualizing an idea to the person who contributed that idea. But watch out. If you immediately foist responsibility upon an idea generator, she may very well stop generating those ideas. Furthermore, it won't take long for your members to realize that throwing out ideas isn't quite as risk-free as you promised originally. They will quickly make the mental connection. Aha! If I suggest something, she's going to make me do it. Forcing responsibility onto the doer will halt the flow of ideas before it hits full steam. If you have ever been in a brainstorming session that started strong and then slowed, perceived force may be the explanation. All the same, someone has to do this stuff. To transform a thinker into a doer, approach the thinker outside the meeting. Eliminating the audience reduces the pressure of the exchange and prevents onlookers from inferring that contributing ideas equals doing more work. Acknowledge her idea and tell the person exactly why you want her for the job. Then apply what you've learned from buy-in to help get that person interested in doing the job. Recap. To get extraordinary ideas out of people, set the foundation by following every one of the easily neglected meeting commandments. Short-circuit fears by using the four A's. Beware that people love squashing ideas, and it's your responsibility to suspend judgment until the right time. Turn to external sources of inspiration and novel techniques to expedite idea generation. Use a system to identify the ideas worthy of receiving action. Be cautious about assigning the task to the thinker. So now you're all aflutter with numerous outstanding, actionable ideas. You love each and every brainchild. What a thrill ride! Unfortunately, the rush of idea-generated excitement can be fleeting. You need a little more fuel to ensure that your ideas remain in flight until they reach their destination. Indeed, it takes a little something extra to get the job done, namely the techniques of...